Bibles with you. We're going back to the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be starting a new chapter today, chapter 3. And we're going to begin in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 4. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Now, here's Paul again speaking to these Corinthian believers. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people," what an indictment, "but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Ouch. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able." In other words, some time had passed, and they still weren't getting it. "For you are still carnal." He says, "For where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Brother Nathan, would you ask the blessing upon this word, brother?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your spirit. We thank you, Father, for this house of worship. We thank you, Father, for the freedom to assemble together. We pray, dear Lord, here in the sharing of it. I pray, dear God, that you would help us to grow in it. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us to share it with others outside these four walls. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Now, we know that thus far Paul, in the previous couple of chapters, he shared some pretty deep things. Some things are kind of hard to be understood. And things that are a mystery to the world. I mean, we talked a little bit about that last week. And when we refer to the world, we're talking about the unbelieving world. But now he's addressing a problem that's within the church. He's talking about people who are believers that still, a lot of the mystery is hidden from them because of the fact they've refused to grow. And as we look at this, I think it's fairly obvious that there are two different types of Christians. How many believe there's two different types of Christians? Because the scripture tells us that very clearly. I think maybe a better way to say it, maybe there's two levels of Christian living, you might say. Some believers are referred to as what's called carnal, and the others are called spiritual. Now, he's especially concerned about the Corinthian church here, because I want you to notice here that he mentions in verses 1 through 4, he uses the word carnal four times. So I think it's pretty evident that he wanted them to understand and recognize that he understood and recognized their carnality. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is so important for all the churches, because to truly fix a problem, you have to identify it, don't you? You know? And a lot of times people are not even aware of the fact that there's a problem. I know that even myself, studying this, I have thought to myself, well, I think I'm spiritual, right? And I think that if you guys who are sitting here this morning, you guys would probably say to me, well, I'm spiritual, right? But the more I examine myself, the more I say, I'm carnal. God, I don't want to be. I want to be spiritual. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. Well, being in the faith is being in Christ Jesus. Amen? It says, "Know you not that Christ Jesus is in you, except you be reprobate." In other words, that's where God gives you over to a wicked way of living. We have to understand that if we are walking carnally, that's what it will lead to. It can lead to a place where God will turn you over to it, and it will lead you into a life of unbelief. And it might even lead you to a place where you will deny the Lord. And if you deny the Lord, the scripture says if we deny him, he will deny us. And sometimes it takes someone who will come along who is walking spiritually, and I hope that I'm growing and becoming more spiritual. But I do have to say, yes, I've got a lot of rough edges to knock off. And I doubt anybody here could say that they've arrived, right? We've all got those rough edges that God wants to smooth out and, you know, make us so that we're like that smooth stone in David's slingshot that didn't miss its mark. Amen? That's what God wants to use you as, you see. So it takes somebody spiritual to come along and basically to open the eyes of a lot of people in churches and congregations who think that they are spiritually, but in fact they are not. Galatians chapter 1 verse 1 says, Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." It doesn't matter how spiritual you think you are. The Bible says, when a man thinks he stands, let him take heed, lest he fall. Right? It's because that even though you're walking spiritually, that carnal nature is still within you. And it's just a short hop, skip, and a jump to walking carnally from walking spiritually. We all have to guard ourselves. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 through 15. We studied it already. It says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." This is how a spiritual person who is walking the way that God says you're supposed to walk, is in tune with the Spirit, has the right and the ability to judge for correction, not for condemnation, because only God has that right. But we do need to correct ourselves so that we can all walk in a way that's perfect, to mature before the Lord. So Paul here is pointing out that he felt his preaching basically would be useless to them, because these were men who were not spiritual. They were not growing. They were still staying babes, you see. They were real Christians, but literally babies in Christ. You know, interesting thing about a baby can't communicate, can it really? And it doesn't really understand when you communicate to it. That's what happens when you first get, a lot of times, you know, I know it was with me, when I first got saved, I started reading the Bible and I started thinking, I can't understand what this means. What is this all about? But you know what? I was a baby. I kept reading, I kept studying, kept coming to church, kept getting teachers and pastors who would instruct me in the things of God so that I'd begin to develop that revelation knowledge, that understanding of what the Scripture has to say. You know, that picture began to develop for me. That picture was Jesus. All the way through the Scriptures, I began to see Jesus. And then what the mystery of the gospel, that wonderful gospel message that we're saved not because of works we have done, because of what he has done for us, that began to develop in my heart. Thank God for that. We need to be able to go from being a baby to being a mature adult in the Lord. But again, so many people have chosen not to grow. I mean, it's a choice. God gives you the choice. You know, a person can be, in the natural sense, be pretty clever, pretty knowledgeable in a lot of different things. I've always taken a lot of pride in myself for being knowledgeable in a lot of useless information. It won't profit me at all. But you know what? If you don't have the Spirit of God and you're not knowledgeable in the Spirit of God, you don't have anything. So we've all got to choose which level of Christian life that we're going to not only desire but serve. One is a position of lacking. You're going to lack. As it says in the Psalms 34, "Come children, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord." Right? And it says, "Young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who fear the Lord shall not lack any good thing." I'm telling you, whenever you are young in the Lord, when you are a babe, there's a lot of lacking because you don't have the understanding, the knowledge to be able not only to receive them and accept them, but to put the things into application that God's called you to put into application. But the other one, the spiritual one, is the one who's positioned themselves to receive the fullness of God's blessing. Because they are walking spiritually. In other words, they're walking according to the Word, what the Word has to say, to the best of their ability. And the wonderful thing is you find that as you walk according to the Word, you'll find the blessings follow, that it encourages you to walk deeper into the Word. And when you walk deeper into the Word, you find that more and more blessings come. You know, I think about that picture in the Old Testament of the man who stepped into the water, and the water is around his ankles. And he stepped another step, and it was around his thighs. And he stepped again, and it was around his waist. And he stepped in again, and it says it was a river that had to be swam. It was so great. That water, I believe that river represents the Spirit of God. It represents the flow of God in our lives. It takes steps into it, you see. That means you can't just say, I'm going to stand here and expect the blessings of God to come in. No, you've got to walk in it. You've got to step out in it by doing what God's Word has to say. Amen?
Amen.
And so oftentimes you ask people, what is carnality? And there's a lot of different answers. But I think one of the answers I found, I think, is pretty profound. And it's really a state of prolonged spiritual infancy. There's nothing more cute and delightful than a little child, right? That's just maybe 6 months old, playing and not able to talk or communicate that wants to, the way it wants to. But let's see, you don't see that child for maybe, you know, 4 or 5 years, and it's still acting like a 6 month old. That's cause for concern, isn't it?
Yeah.
The same thing is true spiritually speaking. Babyhood at the proper time, again, is one of the most beautiful things in the world. There's nothing greater than seeing someone first come to the Lord and just desiring to know more and understand more. And, you know, and just, you know, the Bible says, desire, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word. Now, what does that say? What does that say to us? It says, like newborn babes. You ever see a baby? That's all they want to do. All they want to do is eat. As newborn babes, we are to desire the milk of the Word, that we may grow by it. I understand this. I know as for me, and for Natalie too, both of us, the God calling God put on our hearts initially when we first got saved, we are in the Word constantly. We're growing in the Word. And as we put it into applications, we found our Christian walk, that we're growing deeper and deeper and deeper in the Lord. But what happens so many times whenever they grow into a maturity, we act childish sometimes, don't we? We kind of revert back to that childish nature. It's really selfishness. If you ever noticed a baby, the way they act a lot of times, they're very selfish in their nature. But God has called us to be selfless. That's really a true sign of maturity. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. Now, again, we talked a little bit about what are the marks of a baby. That it can't help itself. But something else it can't do, it can't help others. It can't help others. I'm going to be blunt with you right now. The life of many believers today, and maybe some even here, I'm not going to point the fingers or anything like that. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is just to share the Word of God with you and let the chips fall where they may. Amen? But there are a lot of believers who are old enough and mature enough, they ought to be teachers, the Bible says. But what they've done, they've either made their pastors or their spiritual elders nursemaids, spiritual nursemaids for them. They've become so dependent upon them. And I think that this can be a serious matter, because when the spiritual elders are so busy with you, even though you should be mature enough to know better, time is taken away from those who really need it. Do you see what I'm saying? Those who really need it, the babes. I'm talking about people who've known the Lord for years. They've confessed the Lord early on. But again, they haven't progressed beyond that spiritual infancy. I'm talking about people who they don't know how to feed upon God's Word. They never pick up the Word of God during the week, and they wait till the weekend to pick it up. There's that desire is just not there. And they don't know what contact with God is like. They basically are dependent upon other believers to pray for them and to seek the Lord for them. This may be a little stinging, but I hope it's for the good. And that doesn't mean that you can't come to me and ask me to pray for you, because I certainly will. But you know, you can pray for yourself. And so many people don't have confidence even in their own prayer. Do you come to church so that you can be nursed, or to be willing to minister to people? I've often said that people a lot of times come to church to get, when in reality, what their goal should be is willing to give of themselves to others. Like I said, we can't help others if we can't help ourselves. You see, that's the way it is with a baby. They're dependent upon others. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to help others. We're called to help people carry their burdens. We really, truly are. And again, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I'm not saying that even if you are a spiritual babe, even though you ought to be a teacher, you can come to me, and that's my responsibility. And you can come to any other older brother and sister and get that. But I'm encouraging you to grow so that you can be one who can minister rather than be ministered to. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 talks about that call to minister and that call to be mature. When it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the law of love. You see, it ought to be more about others than yourself. The writer of Hebrews, again, he describes this carnal spiritual infancy very well. And it says in Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 14, for though by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you will come, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. That's another thing a baby can't do. It can't discern good from evil. You know? But you need that spiritual maturity so that you can discern that. Now, if you're wondering what the first principles, the oracles of God are, go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. And some of your Bibles might even say maturity. Not laying in the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. These are the things that there needs to be a good, clear understanding. And it comes through study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. Amen? So here we find the same conditions of those who had been converted long ago, who should be teachers themselves. Paul offers proof that many of the Corinthians were carnal. In fact, he charges them in effect when he says, you act like other men. In other words, people who are in the world. You're not acting like heavenly renewed men who live in the power and in the love of the Holy Spirit. Folks, the same is again true today. When men give way to their tempers and their pride and their envying and their selfishness, you know, it's a sign of carnality. When you listen to someone saying unkind things about other people without correction, when you, as a person, cannot open your heart to another brother or sister that's done you wrong and forgive them, Again, sign of carnality. And when you talk about your neighbor or your brothers or sisters with contempt or have strong feelings of dislike for someone, all these things are work of a carnal spirit, an immature carnal spirit. Now, the word carnal comes from the Latin word for flesh. The flesh. And all unlovingness is nothing more but the fruit of the flesh, or the work of the flesh, you might say, that's mentioned in Galatians. Every sin against love is nothing but the proof that a person is carnal, walking after the flesh. How many times have you talked to people, other believers, for example, who struggled with the flesh, and only hear them say, I've tried to conquer it, I've tried to do it, but I just can't do it. I can't, it's not in me to do it. You know what? You're right. Only Christ in you can do it.
Amen.
You can't bear spiritual fruit while you're in the carnal state. It takes the Spirit of God dwelling within you. You have to have the Holy Spirit in order to love. Can't be done apart from Him. When you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your heart by faith, and He begins to live the life of Jesus within you, the natural byproduct is that of love, because that's who God is, you see. And that will conquer that carnal spirit. It's the only thing that will conquer that carnal spirit, the spirit of love. And to many Christians, the fact that they have spiritual gifts indicate that they have the Holy Spirit. Well, these Corinthians, Paul commended them too. They had the Spirit of God. They had the gifts of the Spirit working, and yet they were carnal still. So just because you have the gifts of the Spirit working and operating in your midst doesn't mean that you are not carnal. Paul would acknowledge that spiritual gifts are wonderful, but he would say, I'll show you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 12 and 31 says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Listen to what he says here in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. If love fails, it was never really love. Amen. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there be tongues, they will cease. Where there be knowledge, they will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understand as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Here it's talking about that spiritual maturity that needs to take place. And we are going to be maturing all the way until the time that Christ returns. So when He returns, the Bible says, when we see Him, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's when you will reach that place of total maturity. And that's what He goes on to say. He says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. But now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Amen.
Again, the sign of the greatest spiritual maturity there is when you begin to walk in love. What we described as love, according to the scripture, that agape love, not demanding your own way. You don't behave rudely. easily to be entreated. All of these things are a picture of true spirituality. And I think what's important to remember is that there is a big difference between spiritual gifts and the spiritual graces of God. And the reason why that's important is because Satan has always used pride as a tool and as a weapon to get God's people to fail or to fall. And we need to take care that Satan does not deceive us with the thought, because we have spiritual gifts, that we have arrived. Right? That is not a sign of the fact that you are mature. When people say, oh, but I work for God, and God blesses those around me. He's given me these gifts, and I'm a means of blessing to other people. Truth is, when you say such things, you may be submitting to the carnal, because carnally, you're thinking of yourself more highly than you ought.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us we need to be careful not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Paul warned the Galatians that while seeking to be spiritual, that they could be falling prey to that kind of thinking. As he says in Galatians 6 and 3, "For if anyone thinks of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Being in this condition can hinder you, again, from really entering into the deepest, deeper spiritual truths that God wants you to enter into. Man, I highly respect Chuck Missler. As a matter of fact, we're doing a study in the book of Revelation, a commentary in the night service. His name is Chuck Missler. One of the things he said has always stayed with me. He said, one of the greatest hindrances of the truth is the presupposition that you already have it. And I think that is so true. This was the problem of the so-called spiritual men of Jesus' day. They had everything cut and dry. Got everything figured out. And guess what? When the Lord showed up, he presented that he was the Messiah, but he came in a way that they weren't expecting. They missed it. They missed it because they weren't as spiritual as they thought they were. And they were derailed. And Paul's going to go on and talk a little bit about one of the problems that helped create this. The problem of denominationalism. Is it wrong to belong to a denomination? No. But it's wrong to allow that denomination, to think that denomination has something to do with your salvation. Each one of these denominations that Paul mentions were started because of a difference, maybe of an opinion or a doctrine. Even though we're still on the foundation. Paul touches on this. He says in verse 4 through 5 of chapter 3, "For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So then, Paul, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one." So we see that over the history of the church has been divided over doctrines and things like that, even to the point where people will point themselves, "You're not saved." And that's why Paul would go on to say this to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 14 through 18. "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some." This is why we've got to study the Word of God, know what it has to say, know that we are complete and secure in Jesus Christ, because Satan has allowed certain men to come in unawares to deceive people and to draw them away from that position of love that we're talking about. One of the dangerous things is when it comes to denominationalism is people get their eyes upon teachers, preachers, and become followers of men rather than of Jesus. You know, I remember when I was a little kid, I was kind of a little bit of a follower. I think most of us are. Where if there was a strong personality child in school or a neighborhood or something like that, we had a tendency to mimic him, want to be like him, right? And usually it didn't lead to anything good. Irritated my parents more than anything else, I think. My daughter, I remember my daughter, there was a girl that she was admired at school that talked baby talk all the time. And she'd come home, she'd talk baby talk, and it used to drive us nuts. But people do that as adults too, don't they? And one of the reasons is because they haven't learned to think for themselves. And I'm talking about in the spiritual sense. God's called you to mature. Look these things up for yourself. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. We're called not to mimic people. We're not called to be followers of a man, mere man. We're called to mimic and imitate God. Amen. That's why in Ephesians 5, verse 1 through 17, it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in what? Love. There it is. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. I want you to think about that for a moment. If we're to imitate God, then we are to imitate Jesus and what he did there. He gave himself for us. Should we not be giving ourselves for others? Amen? And he goes on to say, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, I know a lot of times people read this and they think, man, I've messed up. That's where are you in Christ Jesus? Okay. Notice the next word to get the understanding of what that verse means. It says, let no one be deceived with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Who are the sons of disobedience? The sons of disobedience are those who reject the gospel message. So he goes on to say, therefore, do not be partakers with them. As Christians, you're not to partake in that. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Fruit of the Spirit, in other words, is the signs of maturity. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. How many of you concern yourself with finding out what's acceptable to God? Have you asked yourself that? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good morals. Does that mean you have to isolate yourself from those who are unbelieving? No, you don't isolate yourself from them. But you do have to isolate yourself from the sins because it will corrupt you. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever makes manifest is light. I think that's one of the biggest problems with the church today. We're afraid to tell somebody that they're wrong. Whatsoever makes manifest is light. But again, you must be walking spiritually and examining yourself, seeing that you're not tempted too. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, this would be an admonition for every one of us here. Where he says, Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly. In other words, circumspectly is being able to see all around you, 360 degrees. Walk circumspectly. Know what's going on around you. Don't be deceived. Not as fools, but as wise. Remember, the scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation, scripture says. Redeeming the time. In other words, making the most of your time. And how many of us, and I'm as guilty as the next person. I've got to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes I just want to go home, I want to veg, and I want to turn the TV on, and I just don't want to do anything. Natalie and I were talking about this the other day, that it's time I could be spending studying, drawing near to the Lord. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's the mature believer that understands the will of the Lord. I'm going to leave you with an illustration by Tony Evans. I like Tony Evans. But he says, if you see a baby playing in the dirt, the baby may be dirty, but you pretty much don't make a big deal about it because it understands, you understand that babies play in the dirt. Babies try to eat dirt. Babies scrub themselves in the dirt. Dirt is a toy to a baby. But if you see a 21-year-old man playing in the dirt, rubbing himself with the dirt, and trying to eat the dirt, you know you've got a crazy person on your hands. The only difference between the two is time. By 21, that man ought to know that dirt is not a toy. We have too many Christians who've been saved too long that are still playing in the dirt. They play in the dirt. They have fun in the dirt. You can't come and listen to the Word of God every week and not realize that the dirt is not where you're supposed to be. Why? Because the Word of God is light. It gives you understanding. Amen. Therefore, I encourage you to keep coming. Amen. And keep studying the Word for yourself. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads.